This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. The United States Supreme Court on Tuesday decided to temporarily extend a ban on refugees as directed by Donald Trump's so-called travel ban, which many see as a Muslim ban. In a brief one-paragraph statement, Justice Anthony Kennedy said the nation's highest court would stay a lower court decision against the ban. None of the other justices dissented. The decision means that the part of Trump's executive order that dealt with cutting the numbers of refugees being admitted into the country would continue to apply until the court makes a decision. The other part of Trump's order banned all visitors from a number of Muslim-majority countries. Meanwhile, the Trump administration is considering further lowering the cap on all refugees entering the country to below 50,000 a year. Under President Obama, a maximum of 110,000 refugees were permitted to enter in 2016. The world is currently experiencing one of the worst refugee crises in recent history. Many of those refugees happen to be Muslim. My guest is Sireen Shabaya. She is a senior staff attorney with the group Muslim Advocates. Welcome to the program, Sireen.
Thank you for having me.
So, of course, since the very moment that Trump released his first version of the travel ban, there were legal challenges. There was a second version of a travel ban, different legal challenges. It's complicated to keep track of all of the various challenges to the ban, which parts of it hold, which parts don't hold. In the case of the latest Supreme Court decision, can you explain what it actually means in practical terms for who might not be allowed into the country at this point?
Yes. So this came about because some time ago in June, the Supreme Court had actually issued another stay, basically allowing the Muslim ban to proceed, but only as to people who do not have what they termed a bona fide relationship to a person or institution in the United States. And immediately thereafter, what started was like a fight between the government and the plaintiffs in IRAP v. Trump and Hawaii v. Trump about what it means to have a bona fide relationship with a person or institution in the United States. And the government was taking an exceedingly narrow view, essentially arguing that grandparents are not close family, that cousins and aunts and uncles are not close family, drawing sort of arbitrary distinctions, and also arguing that refugees who have a firm offer of resettlement from a resettlement agency in the United States are essentially not covered. And so the litigation proceeded in the district court and then went up to the Ninth Circuit. The Ninth Circuit last week essentially ruled that, you know, grandparents, cousins, aunts and uncles are bona fide, you know, relationships, family relationships. And so, you know, people with such relationships should not be covered by the Muslim ban. And it also ruled that refugees who are in an incredibly precarious situation and who go through very long periods of processing before they get to the very end of the process, which is that they get a firm offer from a resettlement agency in the United States, that refugees with such a firm offer, a firm assurance of resettlement, do qualify as people who have a bona fide relationship to the United States.
So that was the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals last week.
Yes. The government stopped appealing the grandmother sort of part of this and so accepted that part of the decision, but it appealed the refugee part of the decision. And unfortunately, the Supreme Court said that at least between now and its final decision, so for the time being, that it agreed with the government's position and stopped the Ninth Circuit decision from taking effect. And so functionally, what this means is that no refugees will be able to come to the United States, you know, for this period of time, unless they also have like a bona fide family relationship in the U.S. or a firm offer of employment or something that qualifies as a bona fide relationship apart from their relationship with a refugee resettlement agency.
So if they sort of qualify under the other category that is allowed. So does that apply to all refugees or just those specific categories of refugees that Trump had outlined in his ban? Like which refugees would this apply to at this point?
Unfortunately, this applies to all refugees worldwide at this point. And, you know, I cannot emphasize enough what a huge problem this is.
Let me get this straight. So right now, the United States, because of the Supreme Court decision, is going to not be allowing any refugees to enter the United States until the Supreme Court makes its decision? Like, we've basically closed the door temporarily to all refugees?
Unfortunately, unless the refugee has another relationship to the United States, or there's also this sort of very narrow waiver process that is not well understood and that we don't have a lot of information about, but in theory, certain individuals can apply for a waiver if under the terms of the order, if they can show exceptional hardship and that, you know, their entry into the United States would be in the national interest and also that it wouldn't harm the national interest in any way. Which of course is a very difficult standard to show, and also, you know, a very difficult process that is not likely to be meaningful, but it exists and it's possible that some refugees may be able to enter that way.
So it's just incredible to think about this. So basically, until the Supreme Court takes up the entire issue of the travel ban, the Muslim ban as a whole, we have closed the door to refugees. It's amazing to me that there were no dissenters among the rest of the, not a single liberal justice thought that it was a bad idea to shut the door on all refugees in the United States.
I mean, truthfully, at this point, it's very hard to tell what's going on. Internally, these sort of interim orders are often issued without decisions and without dissents. And the order itself is a very short, I mean, without sort of detailed opinions and without dissents. So it's not clear that that signals that the liberal justices agree with the reasoning. It just means that, you know, there was enough to actually stay the Ninth Circuit decision while the Supreme Court continues to consider the merits of the case. And it should be mentioned that according to the terms of the order and the effective date of the order, the refugee ban should expire on or around October 27th.
Right, I see.
There's a chance that it will expire before the Supreme Court makes a decision because the hearing is not till October 10. And, you know, usually it takes a little time for the Supreme Court to issue a decision after the hearing has been held.
So it could be on October 27th if the Supreme Court hasn't made a decision, that ban might be temporarily lifted, because basically there are probably thousands of people around the world right now who've gone through the incredibly lengthy and onerous process of proving that they are, you know, desperate refugees that can come to the United States and are waiting to find out what this handful of people sitting in the United States decides about their futures. So in a way, it seems as though when the Trump administration came out with its Muslim ban right off the bat, in the beginning of the president's tenure, it was met with widespread opposition. But little by little by little, over the months, it has managed to chip away. And while it has lost in some instances, it seems to making a few inroads on refugees, the most vulnerable of every sort of category impacted, right? I mean, refugees are the most vulnerable people globally.
Yeah, and it's remarkable because this is really, you know, unprecedented at this point. I mean, not since the 1980s has there been a refugee cap as low as the 50,000 cap that the president just put in. And the Supreme Court's decision, unfortunately, even if temporarily, does allow President Trump to essentially implement his Muslim ban. Many refugees worldwide are Muslim. A large number of them are in really destitute and desperate circumstances. They go through years and years of vetting and are really in most need of the ability to enter to countries that accept refugees. And the numbers are incredibly low. I mean, even a target of 110,000, which is what the target was under the Obama administration, still barely scratches the surface of the need. I mean, there are millions of refugees, even in tiny countries like, Lebanon or Jordan, places like that, that are hosting millions and millions of people who are displaced, who are coming from all over the world.
Countries that are far smaller and poorer than the U.S. are allowing in far more refugees than the U.S. does.
Well, I mean, so these are countries of first refuge, essentially, where, you know, like if you're in Syria, you flee to Lebanon or Jordan, but their situations are not settled there. So they really need to be firmly resettled to another country. And, you know, the options are narrowing, and the U.S. really has an obligation to, under the Refugee Convention, to accept refugees under these circumstances. And unfortunately, the Trump administration has decided to close its doors to the most needy in this very un-American way. And, you know, the Supreme Court decision allows it to pursue this course, at least for the time being.
So let's actually clarify. So there's the Supreme Court temporary ban on all refugees, but meanwhile, the Trump administration on its own is deciding to change the rule set by the Obama administration that caps the numbers of refugees being allowed into the country. Obama had capped it at 110,000. Trump wants to cap it at 50,000. Can the executive branch of the government just do this unilaterally?
It can, unfortunately. So setting the refugee numbers is something that has long been, you know, within the scope of what the executive is able to do. You know, within the refugee community, I think organizations and advocates like to see the number as a target, not a cap, in part because even when they set that number, they very rarely actually meet it. Refugee admissions are often well below the target numbers. And so, you know, like the 110,000 is a larger number, but it's a very small number. The Trump administration now is sort of unilaterally lowering, has already lowered it to 50,000, which is a historically low number, especially given the differences in numbers of refugees between the 1980s, which is the last time it was this low, and today, and is now talking about lowering it even more. And so functionally, what this means is that we have a Muslim ban in practice. A lot of the refugees who are fleeing desperate and horrible circumstances, civil wars, violence, are coming from predominantly Muslim countries.
So at this point, what does this mean for refugees worldwide? I'm guessing there might be more than 50,000 people this year that would like to come into the U.S. and have gone through the entire process. And if even if the Supreme Court overall decides to strike down the Trump administration's travel ban, the president can cut off the number being let in to just 50,000, which may mean that a lot of people who were planning their futures in the U.S. are going to be shut out.
Absolutely. And, you know, more disturbingly, it means that a lot of people who were about to, for example, leave a refugee camp that they've been in for years and years will now no longer be able to do so. A lot of people who have spent every last dime that they have to flee and to be somewhere else in a temporary way while waiting for resettlement in the United States are going to have to start from scratch without resources, and often in countries where they don't have the ability or the authorization to work or to find any way to sustain themselves, sometimes in really desperate circumstances. So it's a very regrettable situation. We know that we as advocates will continue to fight this. And we know that this is not the final decision. It's not the final word. The Supreme Court is continuing to consider arguments. And we hope that ultimately it will rule on the side of justice and on the side that every other major court to have considered this has ruled.
Now, when the Muslim ban first was announced, there was just widespread opposition at airports across the country. People showed up en masse holding signs saying refugees welcome here. And those airport protests were very heartening and might have played a big role in the legal decisions that then came down from other courts that stopped temporarily that ban from going into effect. Are you seeing a sort of watering down of the opposition to the continued ban where refugees are concerned? Maybe it's not getting enough media coverage. Maybe the Trump administration has realized, that it wasn't the right way to just blast it right out the bat. And in the future, it'll try to sneak these things in because, you know, people aren't paying attention.
It's really tough when things get snuck in under the radar and when there isn't kind of this momentum to oppose. But I can tell you that the people who showed up at the airports are still opposing the refugee ban. It's just that there's not like a single physical location where they can all go together, all together, to manifest that opposition. And I think we're going to see more and more, especially as the Supreme Court decision approaches, that people are going to be going out in the streets again to say, refugees are welcome here. We don't want this. We don't want this to be the character of our country, that we don't welcome refugees and that people can't come in. There's certainly been like a little bit of diluting of these efforts by deliberately, I think, by the Trump administration. But the resistance is still here. People are still saying that refugees are welcome and believing it, and the advocates are still working, and our organizations certainly are still working to make sure that this does not become a permanent state of affairs, and that we can continue to fight this fight in whatever way we can, whether legally or in the courts, in the streets. And really, ultimately, this is a hearts and minds fight. We have to continue to, you know, raise awareness that refugees are important contributors to American society, that they do not, you know, they do not deserve to be shut out and left in destitute circumstances, and that ultimately they contribute to making America beautiful and strong, and that this is why, and diverse, and that this is, you know, inimical to our values that they are currently being shut out.
Now, we, of course, history should remind us how countries are judged after the fact when they close their doors to refugees. The era of World War II, when Jews were fleeing Nazi Germany, and so not just Jews, so many other communities as well. And the U.S., you know, at some point did try to stop refugees from entering the U.S. And, you know, we certainly see how that might be judged, how this era might be judged years from now. Finally, let's talk about what is at stake with the Supreme Court decision. Just to clarify, the Supreme Court in October, will it be taking up the entire Muslim ban as a whole, or is the category of people who do have bona fide relations to the U.S. Safe from even the Supreme Court?
The Supreme Court will be taking up the provisions that are at issue, which is the refugee ban and the travel ban, essentially. So those parts of the executive order is what it will be deciding on. The people with bona fide relationships are safe also for the time being, just as refugees are shut out for the time being. The Supreme Court will be reconsidering and looking at all of this on the merits. And, you know, it will be either making a final decision on the merits or also possibly finding that the case is moot because the travel ban is set to expire at the end of September and the refugee ban is set to expire at the end of October. So there are many different balls in the air. It remains to be seen a little bit what happens, but, you know, the Supreme Court is definitely entertaining the merits of the entire case, including people with bona fide relationships to the United States.
I mean, and the Trump administration, could it simply renew its executive order since it hasn't really had the chance to have its ban in full force for the duration that it wanted?
I mean, it could renew the order. It could add countries to the list. It could make the ban on certain countries, you know, indefinite or permanent. It's very difficult to know what is going on, but the one thing that I do know is that whatever they do, it will be challenged to the furthest extent possible.
As somebody who is an attorney, do you determine that from your perspective, this is basically unconstitutional, something that you would expect or hope the Supreme Court as a whole to conclude?
Absolutely. It's an unconstitutional ban. It's a Muslim ban. It's bigoted and discriminatory, and it targets people on the basis of their religion and their national origin, which are protected grounds. I think the evidence of the anti-Muslim bias that informs this order is indisputable.
One Both hopes that the Supreme Court is simply going to take Trump's Twitter feed into account when they make their decision, right? Because he very clearly has he has a public record of explaining exactly what the ban is, a Muslim ban.
He does. He has a record on Twitter. He has a record in official statements, whether campaign statements or post-presidential statements or post-sort of inauguration statements. And he also, the order itself contains evidence of the bias against Muslims by the selection of countries, by the use of certain code words. You know, I think there's no doubt that this is a Muslim ban, and I very much hope that the Supreme Court will agree when it takes it up on the merits.
Right, so it violates that part of our Constitution that protects against discrimination based on religion very, very clearly. It's certainly been clear to lower courts so far. Let's see if the nation's highest court, which unfortunately has become very politicized over the past decade or so, will conclude in the same way. Serene, give out a website for your organization, Muslim Advocates.
Yes, it's www.muslimadvocates.org.
And we'll post that to our website later today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
My guest is Sireen Shabaya, a senior staff attorney at Muslim Advocates, and we've been discussing Trump and the Supreme Court's barring of refugees to the U.S. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.